Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is November 3rd, and our reading comes from Hebrews chapter 5. I want to begin in verse 8, one verse. Listen to what it says. Even though Jesus was God's Son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Now, this is an important verse. What exactly does it mean? Well, just think about this. When Jesus was in heaven with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, they're living in perfect unity. They agree about everything. There's no opportunity for obedience. And here's what I mean. Obedience requires something to be difficult. It requires something to be hard, to be confusing. In other words, the only way I can obey is if you ask me to do something that I don't like, that I don't understand, that I don't agree with, or that is really difficult. So when I'm in a situation where I'm asked to do something and it's hard, I'm learning obedience by obeying despite my suffering. Let me give you three real common examples of this in American culture, and I think you'll understand what the verse means. Think about giving. Giving forces us, if we decide to be a giver, to live generously, to give a tithe, to give 10% of our income, it forces us to make sacrifices. It forces us to make hard decisions. It forces us to struggle, to suffer to a degree, right? But I learn obedience through my suffering. When I give, despite the suffering it creates, my character is growing. I'm growing in obedience. I'm growing in character. Here's another example. How about forgiveness? Forgiveness is hard, right? When somebody hurts me, when somebody sins against me in some way, I don't want to forgive. Nobody wants to forgive. We want to retaliate, right? But forgiveness gives me an opportunity to do what is hard, what my flesh doesn't really want to do. And I'm learning obedience through what I suffer. My suffering is building my character, building my capacity to obey no matter what the cost. Here's another example. What about sexual purity? Well, in order to reserve sex for the context of marriage, man, it requires a type of suffering, a type of sacrifice, right? A type of self-denial. But in that process, God is building our character, right? So one of the things I think we have to understand is that one of the reasons we are on the earth and not just taken to heaven when we give our life to Jesus is that God is using this time to build our character so that we're becoming more and more like Jesus. I love Romans 8:28. God works in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But then verse 29 says, those he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brothers. In other words, God works in all things for our good, but the purpose in all of that is that we would become like Jesus. So God works through our suffering to teach us obedience, to build our character. See, sometimes people in American church culture, they say, yeah, I love Jesus and I'm willing to follow Jesus with, you know, about 80%. But it's that 20% they're not willing to let him be in charge of. Listen, the truth is, if he's not in charge of all of it, he's not in charge of any of it. You just agree on the 80%. So the only disputed part, the 20% that you're not sure about, if you don't put Jesus in charge of the 20%, the truth is he's not in charge of any of it. Because on the 80%, you just agree. So you're really in charge of all of it. We learn obedience when we give him the 20%. That's hard and difficult. It's a challenge for us. And we live by faith. We step out and obey and trust God in the 20%. And then guess what happens? Then we discover, down the road, we discover God was right. we begin to see the benefit of his instruction. Now, I want to share one other part of today's reading that I think is connected to this. In verse 12, he says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." One of the reasons the American church is so full of immature people is because we won't obey God in the 20%. So we're still babies. We're still like little children who think the world revolves around them and that they're in charge of everything, right? And we're throwing temper tantrums when we don't get our way. But when we give God the 20%, and God works in our suffering to build our character, and we begin to reach maturity, then we're in a position to help others live by faith. Why is this so important? Well, you remember from the other day, when we live by faith, we enter into God's rest. When we don't live by faith, we don't enter into rest. We live under stress and anxiety. Why? Well, because we're in charge of our life, which means it's my job to manage the world and all my circumstances and make sure that I keep all the plates spinning, or else life's going to kind of fall apart and I'm going to be unhappy. But when we learn to trust God, to put Him in charge of the 100%, then we find rest and our character grows and develops and we reach maturity, and then we can lead other people out of religion. See, basically religion pretends to let God be in charge of some things and then holds out in other areas. But a life of faith says, "God, I trust your character. I trust your power. I trust your promises. I trust your wisdom. So I'm going to put you in charge of all of it. And when God's in charge of all of it, my character grows. I can live a life of rest. And now I have something to pass on to my family and friends, my community, my church, people around me." That's what God is inviting us into. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this word. God, I thank you for every person listening. And I ask, God, that you would work through their suffering to build their character and lead them into rest. God, help us to reach maturity, not to remain babies spiritually, but to grow up in our faith, so that we can pass our faith on to others and impact our world for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me today. I hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.